Good morning and welcome to Go Live Sunday.
This week we have a catch up with James and Sandra in Nepal. Chris Bennett is leading us in worship and Jenny Ring will be continuing our series in the Book of Acts.
So let's get ready to worship God together this morning.
Just in case anyone's thinking I've turned up wearing my NFS t-shirt for the wrong Welton YouTube video, please don't worry, I'm not just late for today's NFS at home, which was brilliant by the way. I particularly liked Disco Dave's choice of warm-up song. Now I'm wearing this because we're getting near to Christmas and I wanted to remind everyone about an amazing opportunity for anyone NFS age to zoom in for NFS Christingles on Sunday, December the 13th at 5 o'clock. Now, just in case you're wondering what Christingles is, please don't worry, all will become clear. All you need to do is register with Eventbrite and the first 200 people will receive a goodie bag with anything you need in it. And being NFS Christingles, not only do you get to make Christingles together live on Zoom, but there will also be lots of favourites from Summer NFS, including drama, a craft, a rap, a song, and loads more. So please don't leave it too late. Parents and carers, sign up today and bear in mind we do need an adult to be with the children when we meet on Zoom. To find the link you need to register, take a look on the Now and Next Week page on the website or look on Facebook, it's all there for you. Now this week I was actually sent a photo of somebody else with their NFS t-shirt which has only just arrived in the post. This one didn't arrive in Nepal quite in time for the summer, but at least James and Sandra have it in time for Christingles. Here's an update from them, and as you watch, I'd like to encourage you to make a mental note of just one thing that stands out for you, which you could be praying for them this coming week.
Hi guys.
Hello Welton. Oh, it's lovely to touch base with you again. Thank you for remembering us here in Nepal. Mm. In the meantime, we have wonderful weather now, no more monsoon rains, glorious mountain view, and we are very, very thankful for it. It also helps to lift the mood despite of restrictions and lockdown. We are sorry to hear about the lockdown situation in the UK and in Europe. Here, lockdown, it's all a bit muddied. We are not quite sure what is happening. There's very few testing going on. Many people can't afford corona tests. They are too expensive as they're a quarter of the salary. But the hospitals are pretty full. ICUs are full. Ventilators are full. So it's a pretty desperate situation, really. And now as the festival season is almost finished, all the main Hindu festivals, there's likely to be a lockdown in a couple of weeks, but we don't know yet. News is very confusing. Our kids are still on online schooling, so please do continue to pray for them. It's the third time term online, and it's been very, very tough. Mm. And they feel also often sad, missing their friends and missing their social interaction. So we appreciate your prayers. Mm.
Yeah. Oh, and this week we had to move flat. Thankfully we didn't have to move very far, we just moved two floors up, but it did mean that we had to bring everything from the two families above, all had to come down and put into storage, and then all of our stuff could go up. So it's just a lot of hassle, but it has given us a broader, a bigger perspective, and we get these amazing views looking out over the mountains, so there's some good points in there, and it's good for to remind us of God's perspective is different than ours. You know, his ways are higher than ours. Often he has a much bigger picture, and it just reminds us that we also have to get that bigger picture. Sometimes we can get so focused on being, I'm fed up of being stuck in one room as my office. I'd like to go and meet my staff again and, you know, work with my colleagues. But it's important to just try and keep that big picture. So we thank you that you are there praying for us, that you're there with us, and yeah, we look forward to being able to see you again soon.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the things which lift us and remind us of your perspective. Thank you that the flat move is completed for James and Sandra and the new view they have of your creation. We pray for their children as they continue their schooling online and as they miss their friends. Please would you help to fill any void that they feel. We pray for the hospital staff who are at full stretch. Please give them the strength they need and bring an end to the struggles into sight. We pray for James as he meets and trains people online, Lord. Please bridge the gaps and bring him joy in all that he's doing. Amen. I was reading the book of Mark this week, where Jesus arrived at Jerusalem, entered the temple courts and began driving out the people who were buying and selling there. Chapter 11 says he overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations?" The verse Jesus quotes really stood out to me, so I had a quick look to see where it came from, and he's quoting from Isaiah 56, written about 700 years earlier. And that passage is all about God saying that anyone who chooses to love him and live life with him, anyone can come and worship. And the truth is, I felt a bit guilty as I read this and thought about how angry Jesus was that anything would get in the way of those who want to come into worship. I thought about how passionate Jesus was about everyone being free to come. And the reason I felt bad is that I so easily put things in the way of worship myself. There's no way I should blame everything on COVID. 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, "For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." Somerville School, where we'd love to meet on a Sunday, isn't a throwback to the temple. It's not the only place where we can pray, sing, and hear from God together. Let's get hold of this verse from Corinthians today as we worship. "I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." Lord, thank you. You are passionate for everyone to be free to come close to you today. Thank you that there's no way you want us to live with a feeling of guilt. Would you free us from that today as we give you anything which we put between you and us? As we worship, will you walk among us wherever we are today? However we're feeling, we look to you. Would you walk among your people?
Today, I've been asked to continue our series on Acts with you, and we're going to be exploring the Holy Spirit today. I'm excited to be able to share my own revelation of this that I've experienced in my own life with you today. Let's open and pray. Father God, I just thank you for this opportunity. I just thank you, Lord, that you've given the gift of the Holy Spirit to each and every single one of us. I just pray, Holy Spirit, that today you would come and speak through me, and that everybody that's joined into church would not leave the same way that they've come, but that they would have an encounter with you today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We're just going to read a scripture, Acts 19, verses 1 to 11.
While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples, and he asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked them, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues, and they prophesied. There are about 12 men in all. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul.
Looking at the Holy Spirit in our lives, I think some of us need to mind the gap. Mind the gap that we create in our minds. Because we say things to ourselves like, the Holy Spirit's not for me. I wasn't chosen to be one of those. Or, I'm not special enough to have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is for every single believer. And part of being a believer is journeying together. And doing life together is so much more fun than doing it by yourself. And so today I'm hoping that we can explore trying to eliminate some of those gaps and some of those mindsets that we've created in ourselves for whatever reason, and just see things in a fresh light today. One of those things, I think, is often we say, well, you know, the Holy Spirit was poured out to people in the upper room. They were God's chosen. That's like equating it to the church leadership today, people in full-time ministry, and saying, the Holy Spirit's just for them. Well, when the Holy Spirit did come down on the upper room, the people in the streets heard it, and they were touched and changed. So the Holy Spirit wasn't just for those in the upper room. It might have started there, but it definitely didn't stay there. It continued in the book of Acts, as we heard last week, to infiltrate and go into the 3,000 and then the 5,000. And it's just awesome to see how eventually it's gone to the ends of the earth. And so the Holy Spirit is for you and for me as believers. But so often what happens is, as we become a Christian, we've received that gift of the Holy Spirit, but we leave it unopened. That would be the same as receiving a birthday gift or a just because gift. Receiving it from the person saying, thank you so much, thanks for thinking about me, that was awesome. Taking that gift, not even looking at it, putting it on the mantelpiece, leaving it there. Leaving it there for however long. It might catch dust, it might sit there and fade, but we never actually look and see what's inside that gift. Another way of looking at it is, maybe you open up the post one day and there's a surprise check inside of it. And you go, wow, this is such a blessing. And you dream about that holiday you've always wanted to go on, or that new furniture you've wanted to buy, or perhaps it's a new car. You talk to others about them. You tell them how blessed you are that you've received this check and all the wonderful things that you're going to do with it. But then you never take that check to the bank and you never put it in. So it never goes into your own bank account, even though you've received it. Sometimes that's how we are with the Holy Spirit. We've all received the Holy Spirit when we've asked Jesus to be the King of our lives and our Savior. But some of us never unwrap the gift of the Holy Spirit. My own journey as a Christian didn't start off with being baptized in the Holy Spirit when I asked Jesus to come and live in my heart. I can remember the day I did that, 22nd of August, 1983. I asked Jesus to come and be the Lord of my life. I realized God didn't have grandchildren. He only had children. And I couldn't rely on my parents' faith. I had to have a faith of my own. And I had to make a decision to ask God to be my King and my Lord and Savior for myself. And then it was a few years later, I was at a youth camp, and we were given an opportunity. Somebody was chatting, and they said, would you like to be filled with the Holy Spirit? You can come forward, and we'll pray for you if you've never had that. And that was my moment of unwrapping my gift, because I just felt God's presence that night, and I walked away with the gift of speaking in other tongues. And I've never looked back. I'm so grateful to have the Holy Spirit in my everyday life, prompting me, working through me. And I have the gift of tongues, which takes my prayer life to a whole new dimension. When I don't know what to pray, when I'm in a tricky situation, I just know that I've got a communication with God that's just between Him and me. It's there to edify my spirit. It's there to edify me. And I'm grateful to God for that. And I'd love for you to be able to have this in your journey too. In Acts 2, verse 38, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is so much more than speaking in tongues. Yes, that's an awesome part of it, and it takes your prayer life to a whole new dimension. But the Holy Spirit working through your life is not there just for you, but it's there for others as well. You know, being a Christian, we often think that the highest form of Christianity is to be blessed. But I think there's a level that's even higher than that. And that is not only just to be blessed for yourself, but as a Christian, to be a blessing to others. God didn't want us to be a swamp. He wouldn't want us to just have something that had an inlet. We'll get smelly and stagnant and there's no life there. He wanted us to be flowing, have an inlet and an outlet. So that's the Holy Spirit coming into our lives, and the outlet is us letting the Holy Spirit work through us to bless other people. And that's what journeying with others is about. That is what is having the Holy Spirit active and working in our own lives. The Holy Spirit's for every single believer. And in Acts 10, verse 45, we read, "The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out, even on the Gentiles." That's pretty significant, because in biblical times, the Jews were the chosen people, and they were the ones that were always seen as anything that came from God was just for them. But the fact that the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles meant that it was for everybody. And so today, there's nothing that can disqualify us from receiving the Holy Spirit. There's nothing that says to us as a Christian, it's not for you, it's for every believer. We're going to take a moment now, and Jackie James is going to come and share her testimony and her experiences of receiving the Holy Spirit when she was born again and being baptized in the Holy Spirit.
The 27th of September 1984 was the day that my life changed forever in the best way possible. I asked Jesus into my life, into my heart. I've become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, a Christian. One moment I was the old person, and the next I had stepped into a world of knowing Christ, being transformed into a new creation, which we read about in Romans 12:2, and it's ongoing. I'm very much still a work in progress. God's Holy Spirit now lives in me. Wow! I didn't know that this was something that could happen. I didn't know that we could have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Each person's experience is different and valid. I was learning a lot, and I was eager to know more about God and His Word, the Bible. A friend was talking to me about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so one day I went to her house and she prayed for me. Nothing happened straight away, but a few days later I was filled with such joy and began to have a few syllables of speaking in tongues. I practiced using what I had been given, and gradually a few syllables became more. Praying in tongues is our heavenly language that we can use when we don't know what to pray or how to pray. In John 14, Jesus speaks to his disciples about the Holy Spirit. We read in Acts 2 how the Holy Spirit at Pentecost came upon the disciples and transformed them, so much so that Peter was able to stand up with the 11 and address the crowd and all the crowd that had come into Jerusalem for the Passover festival. And 3,000 people came to know Jesus Christ that day. The Holy Spirit had filled and empowered the disciples, and so empowered them that they were able to share the good news of our Saviour Jesus Christ, to pray for the sick, to raise the dead, and to cast out evil spirits. People's lives were changed forever, and that continues today. God is in the business of changing lives, drawing us closer to Him, to know His love, His grace, and His mercy at work in our lives. The gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12 are as much for today as then. We need God's Holy Spirit power at work within us to enable us to do and be and all that God has called us to be. Jesus' great commission to all his followers in Matthew 28. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.
Thank you, Jackie. Just as Jackie shared, having the Holy Spirit is about being part of our everyday lives, not just big experiences or little things. And the Holy Spirit is for every single one of us. With Him, we can triumphantly, face whatever challenges come our way. In Zechariah 4 verse 6 it says, "It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." This scripture is not just about signs and wonders, but it's for everyday lives too. You know, so often we hear the testimonies of the signs and wonders. We hear the big things that God has done in people's lives, which is great. But we don't always share the testimonies of that still small voice that we listened to that made a big difference in our lives. We don't always share with other people the prompting that the Holy Spirit has given us. Or how, when somebody reached out to you, maybe that made a big difference in your life when the Holy Spirit worked through them. But those testimonies are just as important, because those build our faith. And those get us to know that the Holy Spirit is working through us in our everyday lives, which is just as important. You know, you might be sitting here today and thinking, "I've never unwrapped that gift of the Holy Spirit. I've never been to the bank and deposited that check. And I want that today." Well, we're just going to take a moment now, and we're just going to have some music playing and a time for you to just let God minister to you. Let the Holy Spirit just come and wash over you. You can pray right where you're at. Ask God to help you to unwrap that gift. Ask God to give you the gift of tongues if that's what your heart desires. But just let the Holy Spirit come and minister through you now. To chat to somebody more about unwrapping this gift of the Holy Spirit, you've got questions that today has prompted inside of you, do get in touch with us. You can join us in the Zoom room straight after the service. The details will be in the chat, or get in contact with us via email or our website. We'd love to journey with you and see the Holy Spirit flowing through you and working in your everyday lives.
Thanks, Jenny. There's no welcome Zoom room this week, as we're going to be joining together on Zoom to share communion together very shortly. If you've not got the code to join, do get in touch with someone you know at Welton, and we'd love to share it with you. I really look forward to seeing you soon. Have a great week.